Good afternoon. This is Rob.
Hey, Rob.
We have a full house. Hi, everybody. Wow. This is unbelievable how fast things go.
I feel like we were just talking yesterday.
I know. It's like, are you kidding? It's week 10. It's crazy. So what's on your mind this week?
I don't know. I like watching the video before we talk, which I did because it gives me some good points that are fresh in my mind. Couple things that I noticed or that I noted. I liked how you worded it, scattered assets.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm going to use that. And the other thing that I noted is on my agenda, usually I do like an income analysis, but I think I'm going to change that to cash flow analysis because it really is cash flow. And then I guess I just wanted to check in with the team to make sure we're sticking to the 1 hour response time, 24 hour resolution. How do you think that's going? Any issues?
No. I think fairly well.
Yeah. Good.
I don't feel like we're lagging on anything in that regard.
Yeah, I know. We just never really talked about it, and he, you know, brought it up again, yeah. And I just think it's something we should consistently talk about. That's all.
Definitely.
Yeah. And then a few other things. Just I thought we'd talk a little bit about, well, Bobby sent out a pre-meeting email to everyone on what we should talk about. Where are we with meetings? Talk about the folders. I also like that you mentioned in there, who else in your world would value our team services? Start with those that are closest to you. So that's just something I'll add into my verbiage when I talk to top clients, their wow moment. So Bobby, you want to kind of go over your agenda that we're going to talk about today?
Yeah, so first was just checking in with Gene and Tina and kind of seeing where we're at with scheduled. So Gene, I don't know if you want to start and just we can go from there.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, right now we have 22 that are scheduled for monthly. We still have 5 that are quarterly. Then there's the new ones that we have about 68 that we're going to do to schedule eventually within the next couple of weeks. So we're going to do either most of them are monthly. There's a couple of them that are quarterly that we're going to do. There's only of the 68, there's only 3 of them that are quarterly. So the rest of 65 are going to be monthly that we're going to schedule in.
Good.
And then Tina, do you have our numbers?
This is for the new batch that we just got?
Yeah, the 34.
There's, yeah, 10 out of 34 scheduled monthly. But we do have a lot on the books already for the intro call. And our goal, we're thinking July 10th by that Friday to have everybody of those 34 monthly, set up monthly.
Awesome.
And then have you guys started using that 24-month calendar, Sue?
No. So we had a team call with marketing last week, and they are working on some pieces that we want to incorporate into the folders. So we thought we were going to incorporate all this into our client folders. I'm still a little concerned, though, because I think that's going to take a little while. So I'm not sure how to manage that.
Okay. Rob, do you have any?
Well, I mean, I don't see any reason you need to wait for the 24-month calendar to be implemented for any folder input. 24-month calendar is, what are we going to – when you think of it, it flows, right? You do the planning. And then you get a list of issues that come out of the plan. You implement them, the easiest ones first, and then and then you make the others part of an agenda. So
is this, Trace, where we were talking about, you know, we're going to discuss tax planning, we're going to discuss RMDs, is that what the 24
yes.
month?
Okay. Affirmative, yes.
Yes,
I think we have that pretty much together, don't we, Trace?
Yeah, I mean, we've got the quarterly agenda that we talked about, like 5 items, questions or concerns, life changes, portfolio snapshot, economic and market conditions, and then we were going to choose one of the topics. So there were like 5 things on the agenda. And then, so the topic, I think, is where we need to get a little more defined for each client what that topic will be. Or we can keep it more generalized based on the time of the year.
Well, you know, I think, for instance, I know I have notes that talk about the topics and the time of year that we discussed a couple weeks ago. Do you still have that list?
Yeah, I still have that. So,
all right. So if you can schedule it in the calendar this week for you and I to go over that and wrap that up.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
Good. That's exactly what we need. What else, Bobby? Marketing?
Well, one thing, Rob, one thing I've been running into is, like, this month I've been talking to clients about annuity reviews, and I've gotten some pushback from clients who say they don't own any annuities, and I've just been coming at it from an educational standpoint.
Sure.
Probably
a topic that would be a little more general would work, maybe for you a little better, like beneficiary analysis.
Got it.
Okay. Now you're talking really things that affect their life. So, you know, what we found was, especially in cases where the family unit has changed and there's been a divorce and then a remarriage, and we still have life insurance policies in the names of the first spouse as beneficiary. Okay. And that may be a political issue and all that. And it may be something that can't be changed. But many the times what we found is that it was an awareness. It was just like, oh God, I didn't mean that to be, you know, that's not the way it's supposed to be. I need to get that changed. So, that review of general beneficiaries, people forget, you know, they assign their 401k to roll into their family foundation or something, and they forget that they did that, because of taxes and things like that. So, you knowing what there is out there, whether it's an annuity or a 401k, an IRA, rollover, whatever it happens to be, where is that going ultimately? And have they done that estate planning? And that will bring up the issue of estate planning. And they say, well, we don't even have a will. You know, we've moved to Florida and changed residence and we haven't updated our wills and trusts and things. So these are things where nobody is going to care about them doing this, okay, except for the beneficiaries eventually. The insurance agent isn't, their estate planning attorney isn't, their lawyer isn't, their CPA isn't. So it falls on you guys. And that creates value in the eyes of the client. So, to me, that's just happened. That's just one of the reasons that we want to have fewer clients that we can take better care of and make sure that they're all, quote, all set. Okay.
Yeah. If I may jump in, I would say, Bobby, especially in the position that you're in, sometimes it's difficult enough for me to talk about annuities because they can have a negative connotation. If you're coming in as a new advisor and mentioning annuities, they might look at it more of a sales call, and that could scare them off. So I would probably stick to the more generic. And if they have an annuity and you know it, doing an annuity review makes sense on their quarterly reviews. Is that?
Right. Yeah, okay.
Because I think the last thing we want to do is call them, all of a sudden, Bobby's the new advisor, reaching out and pitching a sales idea.
Right.
Scares them.
Right. Okay. And then I've noticed...
And to Rob's point, though, adding value, that's huge. They're probably not getting that from many other people.
Right. Also, these chapters, it seems like they're going more towards developing growth strategies. So I know in this recent chapter we read, it talked about, you know, creating a list of COIs, starting a mastermind group, developing two niches, sitting on a community board, you know, asking clients for referrals. So I think that's, you know, a conversation we've briefly touched on, I think, Sue, on just trying to get a list together. But we haven't really started that. So, you know, I guess where would be a good spot to start, Rob?
You start, I think, with the simplest and easiest way to get clients, which is your own clients. So number one source of growth of every practice that I've ever known is the existing clients. If I asked FAs, where do you get business? You know, do you have a center of influence? Do you have a niche? No, we don't have any of that. Where does your business come from? Oh, it comes from our existing clients. They just send us business. And it's just as simple as that. Now, that's fine, but what they send you isn't always what you want. And those that are sending you there's no structure or process. So you're really being very fatalistic about your future. Meaning if we please the gods, they'll send us, you know, business. Well, we want to be much more proactive than that. So we start with our existing clients, and we identify within our existing clients those people that like us, trust us, and send us business without us asking. Those are centers of influence. Whether they be professional centers of influence or just clients, they're still centers of influence. So maybe they're your CPA, but maybe they're a client that's retired and knows a lot of people and just likes you and wants to send you business. So what we do is we raise our awareness of who those people are. So the very first thing is to go back and look at who is sending you business and are they centers of influence with others, meaning they're an influencer. People, they recommend you, people listen, and they do business with you. So that's number one, is getting them directly from clients. Number two is identifying centers of influence that you can then help. For example, you can train them as you can all your clients. So they want to please you by sending you clients. So you want to teach them what it is that pleases you, right? And that means that you have a minimum and you share your minimum with them so that when they send you somebody, they're not embarrassed because you turn them down. Okay? Because they want to make you happy. I always say that when somebody sends you an introduction, it should make three people happy. You, the person that's sending them, and the person you're getting. Human beings love to make other people happy. Giving is the number one thing for creating joy in your life. So helping and sending somebody a gift, which is what they're doing, makes them very happy. So you encourage that and reinforce that. So you do things, and what they want from you most is your attention and your energy, your time. So you give them more of all of that. You give them more of your time and your attention and your energy. to the point where you may make a separate call to them every month. So a person that loves you and wants to help you would value an extra call to you, from you, whether it be just a hi, how are you doing, or let's go through and talk about how things are going with you and with us. Because if they're really a center of influence, they really want to help you and they want to know what's happening in your practice. So you teach them the enthusiastically endorsed model, whether it be a CPA or just a client. You can teach them the enthusiastically endorsed model. And so you say to them, they say, well, I'd love to get you more introductions, but I've given you everybody I know. And you say, here's an interesting conversation that you might have, which might spark an opportunity to share our practice with that person. Okay, what is that? Well, next time you're in conversation about the community and people, you can ask them, oh, by the way, can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? And that will be an interesting conversation, you know? And they can say, well, why do you ask? It's because we frankly love ours, and we're always looking for opportunities to help people that need help. And I was just wondering. Now, when you ask, CPAs we're always giving to them and they're always struggling to get us introductions. And so you say to them, and they say, how do you get all the introductions? Well, we ask every single client and others that we know, by the way, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? And they say, yes or no, or most of the time they say he's fine, he's okay. But when they say, no, he's terrible, we've outgrown him, and you simply politely say, would you be open to being introduced to another professional in the community that gets tremendous, you know, that gets enthusiastic endorsements from others? And they go, sure, that'd be great. Well, our firm requires that we give you three different names. So here are the three different names. And they'll say, so which one do you recommend the most? Well, you can't say I recommend this one the most, but what you can say is this one seems to get the most enthusiastic endorsements. All right.
So I have a question, Bobby. Were you asking that for yourself, for me, for what? Tell me a little bit of thought behind that.
Or like the growth?
Yeah,
it was more of just for the, I guess I looked at it, it was more of like the team perspective on new business and how, you know, myself and you can get more clients, I guess. I know we had talked about in the past using the current client group that we have and the new 34 that I'm going to be helping with and kind of leveraging that.
Yeah. Because I think it's very different for me versus you. I think with you, it's growth from the existing assets that you have is going to take a while because you have to prove to them you right. are adding value and they have to trust you, and it will come over time. Mm-hmm. With me, it's very different from with you. And I could kind of see how it might seem slow for you for a while, mm-hmm. but it is growth what you have, right? And then eventually that'll grow even more as long as you're proving to them that you are adding value to their situation.
Right.
And then to Rob's point, I've gotten more referrals from my existing clients than any center of influence.
Got it.
Just randomly.
Without people, asking.
Right. They just... Now, are they influencers or are they just clients?
Some might have been influencers, but the majority were clients that sent family, friends. We have a few clients that just really appreciate everything we do for them and send us everyone they knew, and they would tell us they were going to tell even more people.
They're an influencer.
Okay.
Okay. And that you want to be conscious of. You want to raise your consciousness on those people. So you want to make a list of who those people are, and then keep track of who they gave you as introductions. Now, I know that you're good about all the social requirements of so good social interaction, right? Sending a personal note of thank you and maybe sending flowers or doing something sweet for them. But the greatest thing you can do is on the anniversary of when the person opened the relationship, physically opened the account, you call them and thank them for doing business with you. This is the fifth anniversary of when we started doing business together, and I just want to call and thank you again for the confidence that you've had in us, and just to let you know how much I appreciate that. And the person will be completely blown away, right? And they may just say, hey, I've got somebody for you. But the second call is the most important of the calls. You call the person that gave you the introduction and say, thank you. This is the fifth anniversary of when you gave me your sister. And I just wanted to tell you that that has been a terrific relationship. Confidentiality, of course, precludes me from saying anything more. But I just want to call today and remind you that this is the anniversary when we started that relationship and tell you how much I appreciate it. And they will say, oh, by the way, I've got somebody else.
Nice touch.
It's a great touch. It's nobody does it. And it makes them realize they made three people happy doing this, and they want to make three people happy again. So if you do, I want you to do this. You are the right person to do this. Do this. Keep track of it. Do it for 6 months and tell me, how did it go? Okay? You cannot lose, and you don't even have to ask for an introduction. You just thank them.
Yeah, I actually like that idea. Even at my next review, just saying, oh, you know, thanks, Mark or whoever. You know, this year marks 7 years we've been working with your cousin and...
Right.
I've been able to help them in these areas. I really appreciate it. Yeah, that's huge. It would like re-spark their reasons for referring.
Right. And people love it I remember when I got out of college or something or got out of the Navy, I became an Amex member. And every year they'd send me, this is the 20th year of your membership. And I'd be like, yes. You know, I know that sounds crazy, but think about it. I never forgot that.
Yeah, good point.
Right? I think
AT&T does that every time I call. Thank you for being a longstanding member since, who knows.
I was right. It makes the break harder.
Right, it does.
Right. When you decide to go with Verizon, you're like, oh, I'm not going to get that personal thank you anymore. Because it'll be year one.
That's a good idea. I like that.
Right. So now that's the reason we have each page in the folder. See, there's a page in the folder for introductions given and received with the date that you got the introduction and then the date you opened the account. Two valuable reasons for that. One is, if you got the introduction and you've never opened the account, it's still pending. Mm. And that may be a prospect to call again.
Oh, so you're referring, Rob, to our client folders.
Correct. Your client folder. All right. And you can have a place in there in their folder also. Same thing. Introductions given and received.
I like that.
Because then they write down who they gave to you. And then if you're able to, remember we're connectors, right? So if you're able to help them with a dentist for a doctor, or you know, maybe they needed they had a problem in the family and you needed a drug intervention and you had the person for them, they write that down.
Yeah.
So that becomes part of the enthusiastically endorsed list for them. And they build their list along with you. So you know, they're asking all the time, oh, by the way, do you know a good whatever? And you go, of course, because that's what we do for our community. And what you'll find is that geographically, people are very particular. They won't go outside of a certain geography in order to, you know, if it's a anything. They like local. Some people, they'll go out, like you guys. They'll go out, they'll go across country to go to you. But, you know, sometimes they want a certain, you know, a lawn service. They want it to be local. And so you will have your enthusiastically endorsed list will be different for different people in your community, you know, depending on their geography. Okay. So those are some of the details of, you know, when we get down in the weeds, that's where the creativity is really and the fun is, you know, why do you have that?
Another thing, though, I think with Bobby, what do you think of this, Rob, where if he went through to the client's CPAs or whatever and just mentioned, hey, I just want to give you my contact. I'm, you know, new on the team, just wanted to introduce myself. And if you need anything, here to reach out to or something.
Oh, absolutely. Critical. Right. So my CPA, and I'm sure yours, so they work hand in glove with my team. Mm-hmm. So I don't really need to see anything tax wise. It all directly goes to my CPA. So they absolutely have to know who that CPA is and have that pipeline set up. And I don't care whether it's the biggest client or the smallest client. It's very easy to set up so that they can get a copy of the year-end statements and things that are going to affect the tax situation for a client. So I'm sure that's not done for everybody. So that would be, Bobby, that would be a great project.
Okay.
Make sure that every CPA is automatically getting the information for every client. And that would, the CPA would thank you, the of course, get the client's permission, but you know.
Or actually on those clients that we've moved over, you know, Teresa might have already been providing those CPAs with tax documents. Now it should be you. So you should be reaching out just saying, hey, I know Teresa provided you with this in the past. I'm going to be providing you with that going forward. Mm-hmm. Wanted to introduce myself. So Teresa, you might want to look at your list and see who we need to move over.
Okay.
Really smart. And I think you're right in terms of building the brand through service. This is really smart. So asking all those questions about estate planning and beneficiaries and all that, that will generate and end up generating business. But in the meantime, I mean, asking the question about liability management. You know, this is the next 2 months we're going to be working on liability management. Just like asset management, liability management is critical for most of our clients. Some have mortgages, some don't. Some have credit card debt, some don't. But what we found is that just awareness of what is available and what interest rates are can help them and their family, because oftentimes our clients' children are looking for mortgages, et cetera. So this month we're going to be talking about interest rates. How does that sound? And they go, oh, that's interesting. And you just go through from, you know, the most expensive rates that you can pay are for credit card debt, and that can be up to 22%. And then comes margin debt, which can be as low as, you know, 5% and go up to 7 or 8%. And then, of course, is securitized loans. And they can be as low as, you know, 1.5%, 2%, 3%, depending on whether you fix the loans or not. And then, of course, mortgages. And the range for mortgages today are, you know, 2.5% or 2% up to 3.5% or 4%. And I just think that that kind of education for clients is terribly important. And, but it takes a little bit of effort to make sure you understand all of those vehicles for liability management and how you access them and how that works and what the rates are, et cetera. So that's why we like to plan a month in advance of any initiative we're going to take. So if we're going to go through beneficiary analysis, we take the month to educate ourselves on what are all the products that have a beneficiary, how do you ask, how do you go through that, et cetera.
And the pros and cons of those, because that gets pretty weedy as well.
Right. That can get really tricky, asking those questions and then seeing the results and then knowing what to do with those results and then what are the alternatives to those things that will make the client happy. So I'd probably start with liability management. That one's pretty straightforward. You know what rates are and, you know, you should learn how to do securitized loans if you haven't done those. Those are really helpful. You know, what are the rates? What are the, you know, et cetera. And you'd be surprised. Just because somebody has a lot of money doesn't mean that they're not interested in borrowing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I'm in a position where I used my equity in my portfolios to provide securitized loans for my children so that they could avoid the costs of mortgages, the security, you know, all the hassle and all the garbage and the points and the expenses. And so I become the bank. My CPA sends them a notice that tells them, you know, that I'm the bank and that they can deduct the interest. And I save them, you know, probably a percent at least in terms of what they could get versus what I can offer. And then I borrow it. You know, I lend it to them, they pay me, and then I just pay back the account.
Yep.
So it's a way of parents that have the ability to help their children without giving them the money. You're facilitating rather than giving. So you're helping without spoiling.
You're showing clients other ideas that they might not have thought of.
That's
the value add.
That's tremendous. Exactly. You're always desperately looking for that one idea that's going to differentiate you in the market from everybody else. Oh, I've never heard of that. My other FA never told me that. You know, so it, you know, we start with 12-4-2 and rapid response and financial planning. We never end in our search to create value. Okay. And so that's where the 24-month calendar comes in, where you guys sit there and plan it and think about it and then initiate it. And, you know, I've had teams come up with questions, you know, things that I never thought about. I thought it was, you know, that's how the calendar gets better. Okay?
Good.
Yeah. And so, Bobby, I would take, as a student of the business now, I would take the Supernova Multiplier, I'd get it on audio, and I'd listen to it every day. Okay? And so that wouldn't hurt you either, okay? Because it creates, you know, so you're going to go for a walk, you listen to it, you're going to, you know, we're not commuting anymore, so we have extra time. You're going to exercise, you can listen to it. And what it does is it's going to spark ideas. And then when our conversations can be immediately deeper and more important. And your questions can be better questions. And your skill level will go up. So you know, when we think about every other profession, you know, the professional athletes in particular, they don't just go out and execute every day. They practice. Now, we think of ourselves as, okay, I'll go get a designation. I'll go become a CIMA or a CFP or a CFA. But is there, you know, where do you get your selling skills? Where do you get your understanding of the business skills? Where do you get your understanding of marketing skills? You've got to get it from people like me who've been in the business for 48 years. I write everything I know and I put it into a couple hundred pages. It's there. It's 48 years of knowledge in 200 pages. You should listen to it every single day for the rest of your life. but no, you don't have to do that. But, you know, we used to say, listen to each chapter every day for 5 days, and then you'll get the words right. Just like Sue said, scattered versus I've allocated, or I have diversified. I've diversified my risk by having more than one FA. No, you've scattered your risk across the street. So you can just see papers flying across Chicago, windy city streets, right? And that's the vision. And you've actually increased your risk because no one is responsible. So who's responsible for the risk? You know who's responsible? You are, as a client. When you have multiple FAs, you've delegated to no one. No one's in charge. So you're in charge. And are you really equipped to be the person in charge of your risk management? You know, you'd never do that if you were a professional. Never. So, anyway. It's a good word. And that's the point. There's the words in there are carefully chosen. You'll hear them over and over. And when it comes to like the VIPSA, you'll understand the advice model. And I won't have to sit and explain for 20 minutes what the advice model is. You'll get it and you'll understand it and you'll see the advantage and how it applies across the board to virtually everything that you're doing. So it's just leverage and knowledge and skill. So like I was saying, if you were a professional basketball player, professional golfer, you'd spend hours, minimum 3 hours a day on your sport, practicing it, getting your skill level down. And that's what you need to do in your work here. You don't need to spend 3 hours, but if you spend an hour every day listening to authorities in the industry, you'd be over 20 years, you'd be a heck of a lot better at the business. So we seem to, you know, believe we can do it without practice, which is crazy. Anyway, that's my speech on skill training. Okay?
Yeah.
So good. We're getting there. We're getting there. We keep, you know, keep going back and looking at the 5-star model and what the roles and responsibilities are. I think you're doing well. I think we can, you know, we can, always get better. And that would be something that might be some, pay a little more attention to. But I think you're getting there. You know, you're going to have everybody scheduled shortly. And then you'll be able to see the advantages of having plan, process, and rituals. So we've done this in the middle of COVID-19, which is a tip of the hat to you guys. Congratulations. Because it has not been easy. A lot of teams just bagged it. They just couldn't see themselves doing the program. So I was on hold. Now I'm picking some of those up, but they're literally, you know, weeks, 8-9 weeks behind. And to me, I think this was great, was we had time to talk and you had time to concentrate and think and listen. And we're separated, but it didn't seem to affect you guys very much. I think you did very well.
Yeah, I think we had a slow start, but
We're on board.
Yeah, I think you're doing terrifically. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks. Look
Thank
forward
you.
To next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.